2018 midterm elections are on November 6th, and student media organizations across the country are contemplating whether or not to endorse political candidates. Opinions are split. Some publications don't want to persuade the voters of their audience or be seen as biased because of endorsements. Some argue that the 2016 presidential election showed that candidate endorsements don't matter in the grand scheme of things. Some make a distinction between endorsing student government candidates and local politicians, while others see endorsements as a vital community service. My name is Madison Dudley, and I'm a reporter at the Student Press Law Center. I'm going to walk you through the legality, ethics, and challenges of student media endorsements. First things first, it's legal for student journalists to endorse candidates for public office, even if they are tied to their public or private institution. Here's SPLC staff attorney Summer Ingram Dean.
Most states do have some sort of law in the books that says that government officials or government employees can't use state resources to promote their own agenda, which would presumably include student journalism, student media programs. But student journalists are not government employees, so they're not subject to those sorts of rules.
Dean says courts around the country have been protective of the First Amendment rights of college editors, and that includes protecting the right to publish political and editorial endorsements.
Various courts have held that bans on these endorsements are illegal. I guess the reasoning behind that would just be the students are the ones who retain editorial control over the publications, and so they are not acting as any sort of arm of the university itself, and so that's why it's not considered the university itself endorsing whatever candidate.
It'd be different if it was a private university that funded the student newspaper?
Yeah, I think it would be, because first of all, private universities aren't bound by the First Amendment because they're not state actors. So with private universities, it's often a very different story because they do and can maintain more control over the editorial exercises of their student publications. Legally, for public universities, there's no problem in endorsing these candidates, but ethically, I think some people have questions about the propriety of that, because in professional newspapers, the editorial department is totally separate from the news department. So you would think that the bias doesn't really exist.
Haley Samsel is editor-in-chief of The Eagle, the independent student-run newspaper at American University in Washington, D.C. The Eagle endorses candidates for student government every March and has been doing so since the 1980s, Samsel said.
A few of our editors were saying that they've always kind of thought it was weird that we were going to weigh in on these people and also cover the election. Because then in the eyes of those candidates, that we don't support or that we do support, we are now biased or we have a view just because the newspaper has put out this endorsement and now a reporter has to toss them and act impartial. So it does bring up an ethical question of can we separate those two? And even if we can, as a staff, maybe the public doesn't understand that distinction or the candidates don't understand that distinction. So it brings up a lot of questions for us.
Alyssa Yancey is an affiliate member of the Poynter Institute and is co-leader of Poynter's College Media Project. She's a journalist and taught at the University of Cincinnati.
Another issue that I have heard students and college media advisors talk about is the reticence on the part of student media editors to be political in their editorials based on some pushback from administrators on campus. In so many cases, college administrators and colleges in general today, because of cutbacks in federal funding, are very wary to ignite passions on the sides of political divides, and they don't want to make their donors upset.
What about looking at student papers that are independent of their university? Are students more willing to endorse candidates when they are not reliant on the university for funding?
And actually, even independent student media gets pushback from their administrators. They may not be dependent on them for funding and operations, but they are dependent on them for resources for coverage on their everyday work. So I think there is pressure on student journalists to be very careful about the stances they choose to take. And I think verges into talking about my personal opinion as a longtime journalist and journalism educator. It's kind of a challenge for students in college media to make this connection where we're teaching them and telling them that it's important to be transparent and open about their processes and not to take sides when it comes to coverage. And then when it comes to editorials, all of a sudden it's okay for them to take sides. And I think they see that disconnect as I have in my career as a journalist, where, you know, we talk about not being biased, about being neutral in our coverage, and then, you know, newspapers are come out and endorse a candidate, even though it's a distinction between an editorial endorsement and a staff endorsement. I think that's a really fine line that most of the public doesn't understand, and I think student journalists really grapple with that as well.
This is exactly the case for the Daily Nebraskan at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Ben Larson, managing editor of the Daily Nebraskan, said the paper, now a monthly magazine, published editorial endorsements until 2015. They no longer do.
We just overall found that when we endorsed candidates, it didn't have the effect that we were necessarily looking for, that what we saw is we kind of did a cost-benefit analysis. And we saw that our endorsements in our area served more to alienate readers than to help inform them about the electoral process. So that's the reason why we ended up doing away with political endorsements.
Larson personally believes in the power of endorsements, but said they're not a good fit for every newsroom, media market, and readership.
The Daily Nebraskan standard for not endorsing political candidates isn't necessarily the Sterling standard. We don't expect every school newspaper to adopt a policy of not endorsing candidates. It's just what we found to be the best policy to take in our specific media market. But I like to have hope in democracy, and I hope that newspaper endorsements have an effect. Unfortunately, here, though, it doesn't look like that is the case, and especially in this hyper-partisan era, it's hard to make those kinds of endorsements without permanently alienating part of your readership.
Part of why the Eagle only endorses student government candidates, not state or local candidates, is because many of the students at American aren't registered to vote in the District of Columbia.
It's also a matter of, do these candidates really care about coming to the Eagle office and being interviewed by a bunch of college students who probably aren't going to vote in this district or in their election to talk to them about issues that affect them? There might be a couple of candidates who are interested in that who specifically work in our area of D.C., but I'm not sure that we could get every single candidate or even a majority of candidates to do that.
But going back to student government endorsements,
I think we kind of end up doing this every year because it's just the way that things have been done, you know? Like, I came to the Eagle, and this is what happened every March. We have this forum, we talk to the candidates, we endorse. And in the past few years, you know, seeing how newspaper endorsements did not matter in the 2016 election, it did not have an effect, probably much effect, at least. I'm wondering if there is that much value in endorsing candidates. But I think there is value at AU. I'm still defensive of it because I think the student government candidates, it's hard for any organization to get all of them into a room. And the Eagle at least has this role and this power to say, hey, please come to our forum and consider you. And they do come. They feel compelled to come because of the history of the endorsement. So I think we represent the student body in that way.
However, the Daily Nebraskan does not yield on its endorsement policy, not even for student elections.
So our policy on that is fairly clear-cut. And the reason for that being is that ASUN elections that we have, which are in the spring, are our largest opportunity to grant news to UNL's community. And we did also, like we did with state and local candidates and national as well, as we did endorse ASUN candidates and parties in the past. But we decided against that because, again, ASUN is the most important thing that we cover every year. And we have had concerns in the past about our impartiality regarding that because either one of our writers endorsed a candidate or because the editorial board endorsed a party.
Larson said people call the Daily Nebraskan biased every day on Twitter and Facebook pages for the Daily Nebraskan in connection to opinion articles and columns. If their impartiality is being questioned over one person's opinion, he believes the readership of the Daily Nebraskan would rapidly decline if endorsements were brought back. Other student publications, like the Minnesota Daily, regularly endorse local and state candidates in addition to student government. The student paper has a staff of more than 120 and functions fully independently from the University of Minnesota. Editor-in-Chief Kelly Bush said the Minnesota Daily has a long history of endorsing student government, local, and state candidates. She says the paper has a responsibility to its student community, which is largely local. The University of Minnesota's 2017 enrollment statistics show that of the 31,535 undergraduate students on the Twin Cities campus, more than 65% are from the state of Minnesota, and more than half are from the metro area alone. When endorsing student government, state, and local candidates, Bush said the Minnesota Daily chooses to endorse candidates that will best represent the concerns of students.
We are meeting with the front-running candidates. We have a list of priorities that we would like each candidate to speak to. We're going to be asking about student housing. So a lot of students at the University of Minnesota live off-campus, and we'll be asking about housing policy, where they want to take their housing policy. We'll also be asking about tuition and funding from the state legislature, because, of course, funding from the state legislature impacts tuition, and it's kind of seen where they fall on the spectrum of funding the university. And then we'll also be asking them about police-community relations.
Bush points out that it's important to endorse candidates because while other state and local papers will have their say, the Minnesota Daily is the only publication that represents the students and their interests.
I think many people are, at least in the university community, they understand that there's a division between the columns and opinion and editorial side of a paper and the newsroom side of a paper. So they know that there is no influence, and they approach the endorsements knowing that it is a political endorsement, and they know that it's not the final say. They have an open mind. They can read it and kind of see between the lines, take it with a grain of salt. So I think knowing that our community is a well-read group definitely helps me feel a little easier about our endorsement process.
Here's Yancey again.
You know, there are many schools around the country where it is a lot of local students, and in those cases, it may make perfect sense for the student newspaper to take more of an active role in local issues. I just find it really challenging for journalism in general, not just at the collegiate level, to maintain an air of you should trust us because we are open to all different points of view, and then turning around and saying, but a select few of the people who work here are going to be able to make a recommendation to you. It's about who you should vote for. I'm much more a fan of presenting candidates, warts and all, and then letting voters sort of find their way through that.
Scott Gillespie is the editorial pages editor for the Star Tribune. On October 21st, Gillespie authored an editorial titled How and Why We Endorse Candidates, which explained how news editors and reporters are not involved in the paper's endorsement process. It also touched on how the goal is not to tell you how to vote, but to offer a well-thought-out opinion for you to consider.
And we feel like 365 days a year, we are offering opinions on a wide variety of things, and that when comes to election time, we should offer our opinion on elections too. An informed opinion that we spend time researching, we spend time reporting, and we spend time talking to the candidates. I'm hopeful, and the editorial board is hopeful, that when we do that well, that it just gives voters one more tool for them to use as they make up their own minds about who they should vote for.
Gillespie said accusations of bias come up every election, and he hasn't seen an increase this election cycle. The purpose of endorsing candidates is not to choose the winner, Gillespie said, but to provide a public service.
We think it's a public service to say who we think the top candidates are, and then give the reasons why. And if people take that, great. If they decide to reject it, that's fine too.
Thanks for listening to the Student Press Law Center podcast, produced here in Washington, D.C. The music played was called Dog and Pony Show by Silent Partner. You can learn more about the topics discussed in this podcast on our website, splc.org. You can also find news stories about student press rights, advice, legal resources, and quizzes. For legal help, please visit splc.org/legal help. Follow us on Twitter at SPLC, Instagram at Student Press Law Center, and be sure to like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter at Madison Dudley 18.